is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman. We'll have a report from Don Wick as well. A disturbance bringing some light snow, pockets of freezing drizzle across parts of the valley today, up to 2 inches possible. Slick roads, especially Southern Valley and West Central Minnesota. Temperatures in the teens and low 20s, highs steady in the 20s. Colder weather returning this weekend. Highs will stay below 10 degrees. Morning lows falling into the single digits and teens below zero. Another system brings better snow chances Monday and Tuesday, with the potential for moderate snowfall and a wintry mix. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey outlining how La Nina is shaping the winter outlook and what growers could expect heading into spring.
La Nina, which is a cooling of the equatorial waters in the Pacific between the dateline and the South American coast, has been with us since September. Usually takes at least a few weeks, if not a couple months, for those impacts of that cooler ocean water to begin to affect the jet streams that move across North America. But it does appear that since right before Thanksgiving, we have seen a very La Nina-like pattern developing that I think is largely attributable to what we are seeing going on in the equatorial Pacific, and that is cold weather settling in across much of, honestly, most areas east of the Rockies at this point.
Rippey says La Nina making the spring forecast a bit uncertain right now.
Yeah, one thing that's important to note, this is a relatively weak La Nina, so even though we are seeing the atmospheric disruptions related to La Nina, they may not be especially powerful or last that long. So I think by the time we get into meteorological spring, March, April, May, we'll start to lose that La Nina impact, and it becomes a little less certain where we're going with some of the planting and growing weather for 2026. A lot more uncertainty than I think we had last year, and so we do expect to see those waning influences. So any cold and lingering snow should fade away during the spring. Maybe some slight delays in planting and field work, but overall, I think we'll be heading into spring in pretty good shape.
Minnesota cattle producers considering a 50-cent per head increase in the state beef checkoff. Red River Farm Network's Don Wick has this update from the Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association convention in St. Cloud.
Plans for a proposed Minnesota beef checkoff increase outlined this morning at the Minnesota State Cattlemen Association meeting. The checkoff, of course, done on a per-head basis. As a result, Minnesota Beef Council CEO Kelly Schmidt says the state checkoff revenues have been pinched.
The reality of it is our cow herd, as many of anybody that's in the beef industry now knows, they see it everywhere. This is the smallest herd we've had in 70-plus years. So because of that, we have less animals that are actually qualified or are getting, you know, checkoff dollars coming in. So suddenly we do have a reduced budget. So that's really what this is at that $1 a head, when you have less head, you have to look at a way to continue to have revenue to do the good things that we feel we're doing. And that's where this came about, as the board said, we have to find a way to find revenue, and this is a way to do it and still have producers have a say in it all through the referendum process.
In addition to the public hearing this morning, two virtual hearings are scheduled for January.
We're doing these public hearings now. The voting process, the ballots will be sent out March the 30th. The Department of Ag initiates the entire process. They initiate and execute the process. So the Department of Ag will send out a ballot on March the 30th, and then in mid-April is when those are due to be postmarked back, and then they'll count those, and then there'll be an announcement of the results in May. So the key is March 30th is when you need to get those ballots, but you also have to be on a list. You have to be on a certified beef producer list. So if you're not sure if you're on there, you're going to want to make sure to do that. And that deadline is February 12th.
Good point. Did Minnesota State checkoff happen at the same time as the federal checkoff in 85?
Great question. No, we've actually had a state checkoff for beef since 1969. So we had it before there was ever a federal checkoff. So we had that from 1969 until 1986. It changed a bit in 1986 when the federal $1 per head checkoff came into effect. So at that time, our state checkoff really just went into abeyance, got put in timeout, and we've been operating on the federal $1 per head ever since, where 50 cents of that dollar stays in Minnesota for promotion efforts and research efforts. The other 50 cents goes to the national office at Cattlemen's Beef Board. This referendum is for an additional 50 cents that will only stay here and be added to bolster Minnesota's promotion and research efforts.
Reporting from St. Cloud and the Minnesota State Cattlemen Association Convention, I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association President Jake Thompson says the event is coming at the right time when producers are dealing with major volatility and uncertainty heading into 2026.
You know, I think that the growth of the national cow herd is going to be talked about a lot. You know, I think you can see in our industry in the last month, there's been a lot of, I would say, manipulation in the market. You know, you've got a few comments, a couple tweets, a few meetings, you know, a plant talking about closing, and we just see all this volatility. But here recently, you know, things are coming back up. I mean, the overall fact is, the fundamental fact is, there's not enough cattle out there. So, you know, what's it going to take to build that herd up? You know, that's the part that me personally I'm frustrated with, because we hear this, we talk about this, and the government wants to do all the programs to do this and that. Like I said, your manipulation, why would you want to get in? Why would you want to increase in the last month?
Thompson says even with the recent price strength, many producers hesitant to rebuild herds because of the extreme swings that we've seen in the market.
If you didn't have high blood pressure, you have it now. You know, so, I mean, it's one of those things where we just, I think as cattlemen, you just want the opportunity to let the market do what it needs to do, hopefully have an opportunity to make some money, and just stay a little consistent in it. And I think that's something going forward for the next year that's, you know, probably going to be a challenge. I mean, it'll be really interesting to see what happens, and there'll be some opportunities for some good marketing. And you know, we do talk about a little bit of that, a few different guest speakers here are going to come discuss some of the options that are available to try and gain some more of that stability here in the next year.
Go to the Red River Farm Network website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet News newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and X at rrfn.com. Reporting agriculture's business, this is the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. At the American Crystal Sugar Annual Meeting in Fargo yesterday, Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association President Brett Baldwin said growers wrapped up a strong harvest, but now facing some tough market pressures.
A good harvest year. You know, ran into some obstacles at the end of the year with some rain and weather, but the crop came off nicely. We put it in a pile and in a really good storage condition. We're liking this cold weather right now for storage. But yeah, we had a great crop. It was a good crop up and down the valley. I don't know if it was a record, but it was from the way the year started. I didn't think we'd have this type of crop, but with the wind and the heat in the spring and the stand losses, but we turned it into a good crop. So no, right now we're just going to concentrate on processing this crop. Sugar markets are down, which everyone knows. You know, we got to struggle through the hard times.
Baldwin says despite the strong crop, falling sugar prices and import pressures weighing on growers.
Find ways to cut back. You know, input costs aren't coming back down, so we just got to find a level playing ground and go from there. They talk about Brazil, talk about India, a couple of the biggest sugar producers in the world. But, you know, we got to find a way there. You know, we can produce 70% of our own sugar domestically, so we just got to find a way to, you know, work around some obstacles and bring another country sugar into the U.S. So.
CHS Energy Executive Vice President Darren Hunoff says lower energy prices and growing collaborations between petroleum and renewable fuel sectors creating fresh opportunities for agriculture. At the CHS annual meeting, Hunoff said key trends are shaping up fuel markets and what they mean to farmers.
Yeah, I have as much hope about that as I probably have ever had. So I do think that all the stakeholders have become more aware of how meaningful that movement to E15 would be to the ag market and to rural communities that they're a part of. And I think there's been more collaboration, call it, between the traditional petroleum energy industry and the ethanol and ag industry than we've seen before. There's still a little ways to go. Ultimately, you want those two stakeholders to get aligned on a plan to move forward would really help.
Hunoff says the recent announcement on fuel efficiency standards is a major win.
I think it's positive for both sides. I think it's positive for what I would characterize as liquid fuels, which means both. It means traditional, conventional petroleum-based diesel and gasoline, but also products like ethanol and biomass-based diesel fuel. And you bring those mileage targets down a little bit, it means OEMs that supply vehicles to the U.S. market can continue to sell the kind of vehicles we're driving today that use those products should mean a stronger market for liquid fuels going forward.
The Trump administration investigating the nation's largest meat packers. USDA leadership has also said rail, fertilizer, and other agriculture-related industries will face similar scrutiny. The outgoing president and chief executive officer of the National Federation of Farm Cooperatives, Chuck Connor, credits the populist movement seen in politics today.
What is different about it is that that populist movement, you know, used to be pretty strong in the Democratic Party, but now it's equally impactful throughout the Republican Party as well. And so all of these investigations and DOJ works, you know, antitrust kinds of activities, you would have historically thought this is the work of a Democratic president, but it's not. You know, the Republicans are in charge of the White House and both branches of government. So, you know, that's a challenge for us. It's not to say there isn't some things out there that shouldn't be investigated and looked at, but we've got to be very, very careful in how we handle this from an agricultural standpoint.
U.S. trade policy has been somewhat chaotic with the on-again, off-again tariffs. The Red River Farm Network asking Connor what that has done to the U.S. reputation as a reliable supplier.
I don't think our worldwide reputation is very good right now, Don, honestly. I think, you know, the world is seeing a lot of mixed signals coming, you know, from the United States government right now. I can say that as, you know, that as one who is sort of at the end of their career, a little more forthright full than what otherwise would be the case. But I think clearly a lot of buyers around the globe are wondering, you know, what can I really rely upon the United States going forward?
Connor served as Deputy Ag Secretary from 2005 to 2009 when Agriculture Secretary Mike Johanns resigned. Connor was the acting secretary until President Bush's nominee, former North Dakota Governor Ed Schaefer, was confirmed. Connor has led the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives for the past 17 years. For more information from the Red River Farm Network, visit Facebook and X. You can find stories, podcasts, and more at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. It's Friday, and we're speaking with AgWeek reporter Noah Fish. Noah, what's on the cover of this week's edition of AgWeek?
Hello, this is AgWeek reporter Noah Fish. And on this week's AgWeek cover story, we have a story on the Minnesota State Fair Grand Champion Christmas tree arriving at the state capitol. The tree was provided by Turk's Trees in Litchfield, Minnesota, and is an 18-foot balsam fir grown on the family farm. It will take center stage in the Minnesota State Capitol this holiday season, marking a first-time honor for Turk's Trees, the longtime State Fair standouts whose tree won the 2025 Minnesota State Fair Grand Champion title. The tree, grown by Steve Turk and his family, arrived at the Capitol on November 25th, where grounds crew, state officials, and the Minnesota Department of Agriculture staff welcomed the farmers as the fir was carried up the Capitol steps and placed inside the rotunda. The tree was decorated on December 1st with red and gold ornaments, including new handcrafted decorations from local farmers. For Turk, whose farm has been part of the Minnesota Grown program for 35 years, the Capitol debut represents both a milestone and the continuation of a decades-long devotion to growing Christmas trees. Read more in AgWeek magazine or at agweek.com.
Thanks, Noah. Looking forward to reading about it in this week's edition of AgWeek.
Taking a look at the markets right now, we're looking at Minneapolis wheat in March is up a quarter right now, 573 and a quarter. We have March Chicago right now down 5 1/4 at 535. And Kansas City March is down 3 1/2 at 530 1/2. Looking at March corn, we're down 2 1/4 now at 445. And in the January soybeans, we're down 13 1/4, 11.06 1/4. The March is down 12 1/4 now, 11.16 1/2. In the soybean oil, we're down 8.80 at 6.16.20. Our 51.71 rather down 8. The canola is down 8.80 at 6.16.20 Canadian. Live cattle, December is up 487 at 226.32, and January feeders up 235 at 338.92. This is the Red River Farm Network.